Good morning. I guess I can use any of these markers?
If they work, okay.
As I talk this morning, I'm going to talk with pictures too, so hopefully that'll help us help explain things better. Not sure where we're going to all go yet. Thought I had some ideas, and then I didn't have any ideas, and then I believe God came through and gave me what he wants me to share. I guess the first part of my burden here is seeing the people of God rooted and grounded in him. And I just think that's really important to the Lord, and I think it should be important to us too. And I trust we're all on that journey and maybe at different places, but hopefully this morning we'll all be encouraged to continue in that journey. I'd like to read first from Ephesians 4, 11 to 15. Once again, with the topic of being rooted and grounded. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Excuse me. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So here again, it's a picture of rooting and grounding. The importance of that, personally being rooted and grounded, and also corporately. But hopefully by the end of the day, you'll see that there's two ways this rooting and grounding can happen. It can either happen corporately, and people can try to get rooted underneath that corporation, or they can personally get rooted and grounded, and all be in agreement that way as well. I would like to lift up the second method. Just one thought here. There's a lot of gifts, physical gifts in this place. Daryl drives a truck up and down the road, and somehow he don't get lost. Somehow he stays awake. I'm not sure how, but I think he's gifted in that. And everybody else has gifts as well. I have gifts, you have gifts. And we have interests in those giftings. We pursue those giftings. We work in those giftings. We use those giftings to make life flow better for us and those around us. Here, there's also giftings, Bible talks about, and God wants these giftings to be more active than my physical giftings. I believe God's more excited about his body than about my work. So as I looked at this and I thought about this, you know, I worked with, in the past we had a Team Mennonite fellow work for us. We had a Mason company. And after I got born again, things changed. Thank you, Titus. I need that. So I wasn't so excited about physical things anymore, but I was pretty excited about spiritual things and things of the Lord and what he had done for me and all these things. And I didn't gain any popularity in our company for that. People looked at me strange. People spoke evil of me and all those things. But it washed off. It fell off. It didn't stick. And one day, one of the men, workmen, he was talking on and about how he would never want to be a preacher. And but I knew him and he could talk. I mean, you get him going, he was an authority in a lot of areas in life. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, I think you could be a preacher. You preach about a lot of things in a day's time. I said, but if the love of Jesus would fill your heart, you'd have something to preach about then. And that end the conversation. He wasn't happy, and I don't know. I think it was of the Lord. But I'm talking to us today, not to him. And he was a good guy. I think he might have been born again. I'm sure he got over it. But God has put these gifts in this place. Are we willing to use those gifts for the glory of God? Or when it comes to teaching or some other service act that God's called us to and we have a gifting in it, it's a hassle. It's a pain. It's inconvenient. I have things to do, and I got lands to buy, and I got cows to milk, and I got all this other stuff. So I want to encourage myself to be excited about the Father's business in the same way I get excited about getting the job done so I can get home to my wife on Monday or Tuesday or whatever, you know, making a good investment so it pays out dividends. Because I think God would like that if his people can get excited about him, and I trust we are. I sure want to be more excited about God myself. Once again, back to the rooting and grounding. God wants these giftings active, not by constraint, but by a willing heart, so that we're rooted and grounded. Ephesians 3, verse 17. Here again, same deal, same word, just some Bible that supports this, that Christ may dwell, just cutting in here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So here he wants us rooted and grounded in love, and thank you, Eric, for highlighting that without that love, we can do a lot of things, and it with Daryl and Daryl and you, however that was, that without love, we can do a lot of things. Colossians 2 would talk about being rooted and built up in Christ, in him. So here again, desire of my heart is to encourage us this morning to be rooted and grounded in Christ. I don't know if ever of you has ever talked to a salesman that wasn't convinced in what he was selling. I have, and sometimes when I get these telemarketer calls, I'll ask them, so do you have one? And they'll say, well, no, you know. And I'll say, well, you better get at least one or two, because the way it sounds to me, they're short supply, and it's the best thing since the telephone. And usually they hang up then. And the truth is, unless I'm convinced myself, maybe I should reconsider selling something, selling what I'm selling or peddling or however that is. So there's a place to be rooted and grounded. Matthew 5 gives us another thought on rooting. And in verse 13, it says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost its savor, where will it be?" I believe I have that wrong. But the thought is, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And it's not Matthew 5:13. I'm not sure where it is, but I'm not going to hunt for it now. But here's a picture of sometimes plants are planted in our hearts, our lives, seeds, whatever, habits that are not of the Lord, and the Lord wants us to root them up. Same way that when we grow a garden, we have to do some uprooting so the things we plant can root in. So after I got born again, we really began a journey, and it was good for me because suddenly I realized I had been under the We Believe umbrella. And to be quite honest, there wasn't a whole lot of I Believe in me. And we just believe these things. And then if somebody would question that, we'd say, well, you know, it's just, it's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. And so after I got born again, God put me on this journey because, okay, we believe all these things. What do I believe? So, and that really caused, that was really a time of cultivating and tearing out some of the bad plants and planting other new plants. And it was good for me. And it took quite a bit of time, and it's still happening. I trust it's still happening in each one of us. This sharing this morning is kind of targeted towards professing Christians. It's not really a sharing for somebody that's not in the kingdom. It's for us. And, you know, I believe that professing Christians, most professing Christians are sincere. I would like to extend that word of faith. If somebody comes up to me with a thought or an opinion or a whatever, I want to believe that they're sincere in what they're sharing. I hope they are. I hope they are. But sincerely can go two ways. It can go to the right or the wrong. And sometimes when it goes wrong, things don't go well, and we don't know why, and that's why it's important that we believe. Personally, I believe. I believe what I'm teaching. I believe what I'm sharing. I believe. And you know what? Sometimes we're sincerely wrong. And I also want to be humble enough to be willing to consider that. Because the truth is, I believe God, well, sooner or later, I heard this story. Elijah was by the brook, and the ravens brought him food. And ravens were listed as an abomination, actually. But he humbled himself and he ate the meat. And physically, they were also very dirty birds, like almost a turkey buzzard. They fed on ugly, nasty stuff. And if a bird like that would bring a chunk of meat to me, I would have every right to rise up and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't eat meat like that, and not from birds like that, and it's got to come on a nice plate. Couldn't you send a good brother? But God, if I'm humble, he wants to keep me, he wants to take me from that sincerely wrong to the sincerely right, and he'll use humiliating circumstances sometimes, or maybe people. And I'm not saying you listen to every raven that flies by, but we do well to say, could this be of God? And God actually, God has used some ravens in my life. Before I was born again, God clearly used a raven in my life, and I don't want to judge that person. But God used that man to show me where I was, he knew what I was professing, and he used God to show me where I was. Okay, time to get back to our. Quit trying. Jesus says quit trying. And religion says try harder. And that's, in my opinion, that's a very simple way to differentiate between true Christianity and religion. Because all false religion, and there's some Christian professing religion that lifts up this doctrine of trying harder, but it's false. Jesus says quit trying and surrender to me. Repent of these troubling things, and I will give you life. Back to the I believe versus we believe. You know, we have a statement of faith, and it says we believe. I would love to see everybody take that seriously and go through that and really get rooted in that. And really believe what that says. Or if it doesn't, something doesn't jive, to either ask somebody a question or talk about his brothers so we could believe. But God wants to take that thing from a we believe statement to an I believe statement. How about salvation? Salvation's another one. We can join the church and we can say, well, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, but it's not personal. It's not personalized. because I never had that experience. But I've heard others that had it, and maybe I'm riding on their coattails. I mean, I get the in prison ministry, I hear guys saying, "Well, I'm a Christian because my grandma was a Christian, or my mama went to church, so I was born Christian." And we think, "Well, that's ludicrous. That's just downright stupidity." But how is it with us? Have we had the experience that we can say, "I believe, I know because of what Jesus did to me, and I'm not perfect on the outside. You can probably find some faults, but I know what Jesus did to me, and I know that he's the source, he's the wellspring." If I'm preaching to try harder, then I need to get over here personally so that I have an experience with Christ, and when I have a true experience with Christ, I'll never point people to trying harder again. So, you know, we over in religion, we can build this thing, saying this could be our statement of faith and practice, and say, "Now everybody get under here. You know, let's get everybody in here, all these eyes." Well, now there's one out here, and he ain't sure about one point. And these guys are saying, "Come on, man, get in here. Just suck it up and believe it because, you know, it's all good." Or get out of here if you just can't fit. Just get along. Whereas, I would suggest, okay, there's these rivers flowing out of the cross, Jesus Christ, well, the resurrection, actually. The cross and the resurrection. Maybe I should draw the tomb there with the stone rolled away. Something like that. Actually, I heard that that's the picture we have, but in reality, that stone was thrown away. I didn't study it deeply, but it wasn't just possible that the disciples could have pushed that thing out. That thing was gone. But so here we got this river, and I believe that Christ wants us to open that statement of faith and say, in the Bible, yes, yes, yes. And when we do that, we come over here. And guess what? You got the same effect. The one's under a lid and the other's in this river of life. And as I was thinking about this, you know, Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, he said, if you drink of this water. So if we take a drink right here of Jesus' water, salvation. We know Jesus. Wow, that refreshed me. That's real. Then he said, John 4:13, he said, if you drink, well in you now. Now you're going to feed other people. And then John 7:38, he said, rivers, that's what he wants. But I'll never have a well if I don't believe. I just won't. I will not convince any. How will I convince anybody? So now I got this picture of all these eyes down here, and we're all convinced of what Jesus is saying, and in the Bible, I'm sure. One disclaimer here. I believe God showed me never pour more concrete around a belief or doctrine or practice than you want to break up. Okay? Because if you do, one day God may give you a 5-pound sledgehammer and say, have at it, it's all got to go. We got to get this thing loose again. I want to tweak it just a little bit. And if you work with concrete, it's a lot of work to move anything an inch or 2 inches. It's a lot of work. So he got all these, we're all down here in this river of life now because we're convinced. And Jesus said, rivers. So would it be possible that this river could get better, bigger because of me and you? I'm not sure. I mean, God provides all this water. But the truth is, if I'm a channel of it, I'm going to take it to a different place. So it's our choice. I've had experiences with people that say, well, we believe in, and yeah, but and not sure, and but we believe it's in there somewhere. And to me, I couldn't buy it. I personally couldn't buy into that. I was like, Man, I'd be much more convinced if you believe, but I can see you ain't sure. So you believe because somebody else believes, and it's a mess. But it's a beautiful thing when we dig in, and we must know. And we're not arrogant about that. But that's what God wants for us. I'm convinced God wants us to grow up, and he wants us to. It's fun, it's nice, it's pleasant when we can all stay together, but I don't think that was God's original intent for his people. We're all sincere. Even practice. One of the youth asked why we do what we do, and I think Lad promised them it's going to be addressed at the youth Bible study. Why do we dress the way we dress? And I think it's good that we know. I think it's good we know. And if we don't know, I think it's good if we counsel and seek God so that we know why we're doing what we're doing. And we can tell people, not arrogantly, but when the question comes, we can tell them with confidence and say, you know what? We understand where you're at, but this is why we're walking where we're walking. And once again, the salesman that doesn't believe in his product is not going to sell anything. I think we're all sincere about reaching that destination, heaven. If you ain't, get sincere about it. But once again, sincere can be sincerely right or sincerely wrong. And when we're humble and seeking Jesus, he's going to take us to the right road. Some people have a hard time being sincere about anything, and that's a tough situation. I know I heard an evangelist speak already. It seems like the people that were steeped in sin and just going full bore ahead, and they get converted, they're full bore ahead for the kingdom, and that's kind of true sometimes, but it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be full bore ahead in sin to be full bore ahead in the kingdom. God has a work for each one of us, and when we say yes to God, he's going to use us. If I say, well, I'm just too busy, Lord, and it's too much stuff in the way, and I didn't have my ducks in a row, and it gets in his way. God is like, lower God, but it's almost like a GPS. And you know, sometimes I'm driving down the highway, if I'm a GPS, and something malfunctioned, the volume was off or something, and I miss the road, and I drive out around, and I go through extra turns and twists and bumps and lots of extra miles at $4 a gallon. That costs money in my pickup. I just did the other day, and I was like, oh, man, I could have just cut over here and go, but I couldn't, so I followed the thing. It rerouted me an extra 20 minutes. Sometimes the GPS doesn't understand our destination. I try to put it in. I like talking because I'm not good at typing, and then it says somewhere else, and finally I have to type it in and change back, different letter. My fingers are too big. But it's always, God will always bring us back to right if we're willing to listen. Like if the GPS disagrees with me, and I think that, well, I should have turned there, that's a nicer road, and I throw that thing out the window, what's going to happen? I'm going to be thoroughly lost. I can go that nice road, but I'm going to get thoroughly confused and lost. But it always tries to get me back to the right road for the most part. And that's God. If we're willing to listen, I have to humble myself and listen to GPS. And I have to and go where it tells me. Unless you know your way around, Darryl. Darryl, some of you guys know all the roads. I just put it in my GPS. It's a weakness I have. It's always a comfort to get back in familiar ground. For me, it is. Like, if I took a wrong turn, I'm back on the road now. Thank you, Jesus. I can see that I'm at the right place now. I'm around your people. There's love or whatever. But it's always a comfort to get back on the right road when I'm driving down the highway. Question. Forgive me, brothers. I have a pretty strong, bold personality. I want to use it for the good. But, you know, there may be times that I've seemed unapproachable. I don't want to be that way. And, but am I? Are you approachable? Because that's how we're going to get back on the right road. If we allow that, I could turn the volume off on that GPS and said, you were quiet before, you're going to be quiet again, and I'll find my own way. And I wouldn't have. I desire to live in a way that if my beliefs differ than somebody else's or my practices, that we could sit and we could talk like men. And we could seek the Lord together. I love that picture. That's a beautiful picture. And I think that's where God wants to take me and us, that we would be approachable and discuss whatever it is, whatever thing that I'm looking at or digging around here, and I'm saying, man, I'm maybe not the whole way out, but boy, I'm kind of here on that one issue there, you know. I'm wired that I can't just say yes, sure, whatever. I just can't. I'm not sure that God wants any of us to be there. Because when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we give an account of our life and what we've done and what we believe. It says alone. I think the Bible says alone, but we're going to be alone when we give that account. And I trust that the blood's going to cover we'll be covered in the blood and cloaked in his righteousness and holiness. Nothing sticks to that. Jesus. I was just going to say that maybe it's me. I don't know. But I've been in circumstances probably ever since I got born again. I thought the kingdom thing's going to be a cakewalk, you know. After all the confusion outside the kingdom, It's going to get a lot better now. Well, it did. But yet there's still disagreements and differences of opinion and differences of practice and all these differences. And somehow we got to work through these like men. But so often there's intimidation, maybe accusation, if there's a difference. And those things are over here. I'm convinced those things are over here, and actually there's a few more things to put in my artwork now. I don't know. It's probably faster to say it. Intimidation. Maybe I can gossip. Did you see that guy's halfway out under the lid? Oh, don't tell me so. Did anybody talk to him? I don't know, but he's there. That's where he's at. What do you think we should do about it? Well, let's get a few more people together and pray for him. Did you hear? Accusation. Whoops. Shame. And fear. It's all there. I missed the part here. What I wanted to do here is put in here that, you know, we have the right and wrong choices. We can make right or wrong, sincerely, choices. And actions, choices can be in actions. Let me put... Oh, no, Art, that thing's dried out. I hate to throw things away, too, but that might be better in the trash, eh? Actions, attitudes, we'll abbreviate, words, feelings, and many more. These are just some of the things that I It's kind of working yet. Maybe if you soak it in water. Okay, and then here, this is the We Believe. This has become We Believe because all these eyes really get dug in, and it became a We Believe, and that was awesome. And then what I'm trying to say is, okay, here we are in life, and I don't know if you can figure out what they are. Some of you can't see. I'll explain. I think I caught my picture up to date. Okay, so Jesus, back to the thing about being approachable. Jesus' example is Mark 6:33. It says the people ran out of all the cities. I mean, they wouldn't have been running wide open, probably with bare feet, to try to get ahead of Jesus. And he was trying to go apart and rest. I should probably go there and read that real quick. But to me, he was magnetic. He was, I believe it was because he was emitting or whatever, the love of Jesus Christ. And he cared for the people. And emanating, I think that's right. Thank you, Arthur. And the people saw them departing, so they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. These people were, I don't know, they were serious about digging in. It probably would have been easier to just, whoops. Uh-oh, sorry. Sorry, Titus. It probably would have been easier to just let one or two of them go and then bring the word back. But that's a beautiful picture of the zeal of the people and the approachableness of Jesus Christ. Screens and cameras and recording devices. Now we're switching gears a little bit here, but it ties in. We live in a world that's full of accountability. Screens keep us honest and accountable. I think of security cameras at the bank. I don't know, there's so many places that there's cameras. I know I just went through the turnpike the other day, and I had my Jeep, thing on the dash, so it clicked. But they have a camera looking at my license plate. If I don't pay, I'm going to get billed. And there's ways to evade these accountability things. I mean, a man can wear a mask and go into a bank and rob it. I could flip my license plate and go through and take and we got to deal with God on those things if we want to be dishonest in that way in the world. But there's good ways. Also, actually, no, I was going to say this. I heard a story that, okay, these are cameras, okay? They're looking at us. Thank you, brother. It's good, the concrete floor instead of wood. These are cameras. People are watching us. That's the point here. And we don't always do right here. At least I don't. Maybe y'all do. But bless God for the rivers here, for the cross, for the grave, so we can once again see what that is when we make wrong choices and God shows us, that's like him saying, hey, there's two rocks here in your life and it's making rough water. And I want you to deal with that. I want you to take those rocks and throw them out. Okay? Get rid of them. Through repentance. Okay? So we got these cameras watching us. Everything we're doing in life, and people are watching us. The lost and the saved. And so let's just suppose, and I just want to make a point here. No, thanks for the illustration. to the brother that gave it, but he might not remember. We control people with these cameras at the bank, at the turnpike. You know, we kind of keep them accountable. I once heard a suggestion that we could have a screen and we could show people coming in late for church, maybe after the service or something. That would promote earliness, and I know Art's big on earliness, and that would probably work. You know, it just might, and especially if I'm not dead, if I'm alive and really caring about. So anyhow, that would be an option. That would be a way to encourage the body to get to church on time. But I was thinking about that, and I was saying, man, would Jesus be happy with that? He'd be happy if we came to church earlier, probably, but how would that fit in? And to me, it kind of fell on the religion side where it's kind of a forced technique. But then I thought, you know what else we could do? We could, can I pick on you, Art? Now showing Sunday morning, this would get people to work early. If you took clip or video of your whole week, Monday through Saturday, thank you, brother. I'll set it aside a little further and be more careful. We could watch that. And I might be here at 7 o'clock to watch. I don't know. It'd be interesting knowing about Art's life. Okay? Art's life. Now showing. That would be one way to get everybody to church. Ooh. Well, I don't know. How about Jordan's life, you know? Let's do his for a week. I mean, hey, come on, cut me some slack. That's just another thought I had of, and you know, video is also used for good things. I think there's probably people watching me. I hope they're being blessed. But with video comes a record, storage. Okay? Well, guess what, Art? There's a big screen. And it's being recorded. And sometimes we're more worried about this one, and we never thought of that one. This is God's perspective. And he's got these reels. He's got them all stored up. And sometimes we think that, well, if enough time goes past and my memory fades, then it's all well. But it's not. And God won't let our memory fade. When we get serious about him and we get serious about digging in and getting over here, God's going to say, dude, there's two rocks here and it was 10 years ago and you might not even hardly remember it. But now you do. Now you do. What are you going to do now? If you don't deal with that, there's going to be rough water. So, as I thought about this, no, God doesn't have a video camera. But all things, I believe the Bible says all things are open and naked before him. And time does not fix things with God. It can fix things with our relationships. Because we kind of forget. And our memory fades. It doesn't hurt anymore. It's quite as much. Maybe a loss of a loved one or thing. But when it comes to things that God wants to deal with, he does not forget. And he wants to make us sincerely right. Okay? He wants to take all those wheels and wash them away in the blood. But they have to be acknowledged. So, and the question is, what did my video record this week? What am I storing up? What am I treasuring? What am I hanging on to? Who am I upset at or angry at? There's a you know, because like I said, there's these cameras and we all have them. We see, we hear, I acted in a way that I shouldn't have, but hopefully I'll soon forget. Had a wrong attitude, a couple sharp words, feelings of whatever. Boy, I hope people forget. You know, before I got converted, once a year we'd take communion where I went to church, and every year I would hope that God forgot some things. That's the truth of the matter. That's where I was, and I didn't understand how to get rid of stuff because I wasn't even converted. But I was hoping. I knew things back there pretty far. And Lord, hopefully somehow this wine and bread is going to wash me up and clean me up. Lord, I hope so. Scared, but oh boy, I hope so. I'm trying, Lord. Because I was over in this camp, and like I said earlier, I was in the we believe thing. And I really didn't believe. I wasn't even a believer. I didn't have assurance that Jesus had washed my sins away. Without that, don't stop seeking God. He's knocking on the door. And sometimes we went through a lot of mud and the knocking got quieter and quieter, but God is knocking on the door. And he cares. And he wants to change us. And he wants to wash all this stuff away. And, you know, the truth is sometimes we have wrong actions and we do deal with it. But, oh boy, somebody didn't throw their camera away. They brought it over here. A couple wheels, actually, there. And did you hear that? And here Jesus, it's all washed away and done, and this guy that's washed, he's walking in peace and happiness, and you think that person is? Not a happening. And this is why. Matthew 18, and we're soon done. And I spoke about this to the youth the other weekend. In 23, there's this story of the servant. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Now, is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And we know that's a picture of the old covenant when Jesus came and made another way possible. The servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Okay, so here's a picture. Let's take this wheel this afternoon, and we'll get the projector here pointed at the screen, and we'll spin that wheel. It might not be in here, it might be at the dinner table or somewhere else, but we'll spin that wheel and we'll have a good time of thinking about that and learning from that person's mistake. So this is a picture now. The other thing is, well, I'll read on here to the end. And his fellow sir, and he had patience. Okay, so he went back out and grabbed his other fellow servant who hardly owed him anything. 100 pence, he laid his hands, and we know the story, took him by the throat, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down his feet and saw him, he had patience, and he would not, but he went and cast him into prison, so he should pay all the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told the Lord all that was done. And the Lord, after that, he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts. That's a neat little part of that sentence that shouldn't be missed. From your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. So I'm thinking that, let's say I fire up my recorder and I play Art's Life, okay, and I'm getting a big kick out of that. And I'm smiling, and what God's going to do is pull one out about Bruce here. He's going to fire up his recorder. And he's going to say, you know what, if you can't let that go, I'm not going to let this go either. And I'm going to send tormentors, actually. And You are going to live in fear. You're going to live under accusation. You're going to live in shame. These are tormentors that God's going to send us if we don't forgive people. If we don't take those wheels that we've been collecting up. Oh, but I don't have wheels. Are you sure? Did you ask God if you have wheels or not? Sometimes I know people. I think people have wheels and they don't think they have wheels. And, you know, I don't know. It's before the Lord. But it's kind of fruitless sometimes for me to convince someone they have a storage container with whatever when they deny it. And it's like, okay, God, it's your business anyway. But, you know, we got a desire. We got a desire to be over here in this river. We got a desire to be there, or we ain't willing to consider whether we got unforgiveness in our hearts or not. And if we do, this little thing, whatever it was, this little teeny-weeny thing that we're so fired up about is nothing, just like in that story, compared to our offense against God. And sooner or later, God wants us to see that, you know what, even while you were in sin, even while you had all this stuff stacked up against you, I loved you. I loved you, and still do, enough to send Jesus so that it could all go away. And today, he wants us to love those that are over here too. Wherever. Both in the body and out of the body that are mistreating us. And I think the people in the middle of the battle right now are really being tested in that. And you know, I don't know. Did somebody say they don't know how they would hold up? I don't know how I would hold up. In my own strength, I wouldn't hold up. I could say, oh, sure, yeah, I just love them, forgive them, and I'd probably be handing out tracts. Well, if I act that way, God may give me the chance. Say, okay, the war's outside your door. What are you going to do now? It's easy to boast, to make a boast. Like Peter said, I'd die with you. But I want to believe that I would do those things, but I realize that it's over here where it's going to happen. It's not by making a declaration today. And I've heard people make declarations about what they would or wouldn't do in a certain situation if a man came in with a gun. And I'm thinking, man, you don't understand. You don't have the right to do that. It's by the grace of God you'll do that. If you're walking with him, you'll do that. And I realize there's something about conditioning the mind, because if I plan to take up a baseball bat, if somebody breaks down my door, I will do that, probably. I'll have one by the door, and I'll quickly grab it, and I'll take the law in my own hands. But if I believe that God's grace is sufficient and that power in the Holy Spirit is available, like you were talking, whether or not it's been really exercised in my muscles yet, if I believe that and I claim that and I walk towards that, and there was a story of a man that was in a prison, and this man was coming at him, and he didn't have a gun, the guards couldn't, and he got in this block with his violent offender that shouldn't have been loose, and he said, in Jesus' name, and the man fell down, and then the doors opened, the guards came in, and they were on him. But the power's available, but I have to believe it, and as long as nobody's beating down my door, I don't have to decide. But I really should be deciding today, because it will condition my mind, whether to look to God or look to my own abilities in the time of crisis. First John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. And I would say, if we're tormented today, it's because of one of two things. Number one, because we don't have peace in our hearts, because we never experienced Jesus. We've never said, I believe, because I know. It's like, and when you're there, it's like a blind man that gets his sight. You know, people might say, well, you can't see. Be quiet. And they cried out the more. There's a story of the blind man sitting by the road. Jesus, save us. Be quiet. And he healed them. And so God, you can't convince a blind man that was healed that he can't see. Okay? You just can't do it. And that's where God wants to take us. In our everyday practice, in our doctrine that we believe, in salvation, God wants to put us on the rock. And we know the story about digging deep. And that's probably where we can dig deep. When we open that thing up and say, now why do I believe this? And we dig, we look, we examine, we study, we know, we're sure. But it has to start with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that comes through a new birth. So we're either tormented for one or two reasons, and probably many more. Either we're not born again and we don't have peace because of that, no matter how much we keep propping ourselves up, or we haven't forgiven. And if there's anything that we know, and God, even now, who could walk in that door and we get a knot in our stomach? Who is it in my life or your life that we get a knot in our stomach? You know, that's the one. God's saying, that's the one. Right there. Do you realize what I did? How long are you going to hang on to that role, that thing he did? And no, your forgiveness of him doesn't clear the guilty, but it clears you. And you'll be taken out of torments if you let this thing down. And if you don't, you can bury it with dirt, but it's going to continue to torment you. You know, I want to walk in that place where, and I've tried in the last several years to go back and make amends and ask forgiveness and all those things, because they don't go away. They do not go away, and one day they'll all be stacked up there if we're not willing to deal with them today. So, the love of Jesus wants to deal with that fear. He wants to put that love in our hearts, because fear has torments. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we love Jesus because he first loved us. I mean, without Jesus first loving us, we'd all be lost. One thing I was going to say, you know, if we're at the place that we're saying we believe or we believe something and it's really not in us, we're kind of like the double-minded man who's unstable in all his ways. Because if we're making this claim and it's not really part of our lives, or then that's confusing. But James also says there's hope for that. He said, cleanse your hands, you double-minded, and just get it over there under the blood. Acknowledge what God's putting in your heart, what God's pointing at in your heart, and we'll get over here, and we will have a we believe. I don't know. I hope I wasn't misunderstood this morning. But my heart is that people be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and know what they believe and go out with confidence. And otherwise, you're like the salesman that says, well, yeah, maybe I will go buy one. It's kind of funny, but yet it's real, it's true. So thank you for paying attention, and I hope that everything was sound and of the Lord, and if it wasn't, I'd be happy if you'd come talk to me, but I want to lift up getting rid of those reels under the blood, take them to the cross, coming in into a place of forgiveness. And you know what? One of the keys that I learned, and maybe I shared this before, I don't know, but the Lord said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there's this battle going on for the souls of men, and it's spiritual wickedness in high places. And that same evil spirit that feeds all this is out to hold us in unforgiveness as well. Because when we're there, the Bible says we won't be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. But when I could see that it wasn't faces of people, but it was spirit realm, the evil spirits were, not only was I incapable of ministering life to those people, because in unforgiveness, we don't have, I mean, we might be over here, but there's some big rocks that are making some rough water. Not only when I was in unforgiveness with those people, I couldn't help them. They were in sin. I mean, I feel in my life there's people that have, you know, sinned against me, but I had to release it and see the battles in the spiritual, in the heavenlies. And when I got free, then I could care about the people, the soul. But as long as you associate an action with a face, there's possibly unforgiveness in your life for that person. And it's a trick of the devil, because he wants to take that person and he wants to take me. He wants to eat both our lunches. But when we get free, then we got the power to go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry, because I've been angry at you for all these years for that thing, and I don't know what to do about it, but I just want to lay it down now. I believe that to be the ministry of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation, healing, power, freedom, just all the blessings that we can have in his kingdom. So thank you.